Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone coming at you again today for 3 hours, 12 to 3, the 3HL. Appreciate Nick Kale, Brand, and Braden Gall holding it down earlier today. Enjoyed listening to those guys. And hope you're going to hang out with us now for the next 3 hours, or at least, you know, 2 hours to 58 or 9 minutes of that 3 hours. We're going to have you covered. Mike Wilson is going to join us, Blaine, right here in about, we synchronize our watches, 12 minutes or so, to talk about the latest on Rocky Top after a day when we're all still just, I'm still trying to think about all the things that I heard. I'm still trying to process everything that I saw and heard yesterday, and we can get to that. Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for ESPN, what's going on with Deshaun Watson and the Texans, and what a dysfunctional mess that is.
We need to now get zap the Colts, too, with this, the same thing.
Terrible dysfunction everywhere is, you know, but dumpster fires all around the Titans division mates. We want that for sure. So Sarah Barshop's going to tell us what's going on as well as she can and as best as she can in Houston. And Coach Mack at 2:15, our weekly visit with Coach Mack. Titans have started the offseason. The playoffs continue. Titans are shopping for an OC and a DC. What does Coach Mack think about all that? We'll ask him.
Yeah, no doubt. But you got to get back to the Vols. And you said dumpster fire. Well, we always make fun of Kentucky burning couches and everything. Well, what will be painted on, or what has been painted on, the Rock each and every day? It's always something new. And then you see a dumpster going down the lake over there. I mean, or, you know, yeah. So, man, this is, you know, spinning and turning, and the wheels keep going. And what direction will they go? Nobody knows. Just like you're on the wheel of fortune. Nowhere. They're going to stop at some point, and hopefully it doesn't say bankrupt. So hopefully they get it right. I don't know what's the direction. Do you do a stopgap guy? And, you know, you're hearing rumors about Witten and Steele just doing a 4-year. That way you can get a good AD, get his feet wet, and then, you know, hire his candidate and be comfortable and kind of go through the transition. Or do you hire an AD and then you say, okay, you have your top three. Let's go interview them. If we feel like they're one of the ones we want to move forward with, go move. If not, don't rush into a decision. So I'm interested to see what the powers that be, how they approach this, because you still have time ultimately, with so much time before the season. You know, you still have spring ball, but that can be run by, you know, Kevin Steele or Witten. And actually, I'd love to hear some people's thoughts on Witten kind of being the CEO type coach with no coaching experience, which is kind of interesting. As much as I want to believe that he could do a good job, I just don't know if I'm going to go on a limb and just hire a great player. Now, who I would do that to, though, which I'm sure he's looked at in the same light from ball fans, is Peyton Manning. See, I do that. But wouldn't I be like, yeah, maybe the OC. I know he's, you know, he's an elite player. And maybe, you know, I don't know him well enough. Maybe he is a CEO type guy for stopgap and potentially maybe even a coach. But they're definitely in high regard. I don't think if Arkansas State or Ball State called one of us, I don't think it would be for the head coaching positions. Let's say that.
Yeah, my school just had an opening. They went with Butch Jones over.
Yeah, they went with Butch Jones. Well, yeah, well, mine had an opening. They went with Mike New. So, but he did have coaching spirit. He said he attempted to coach Drew Brees as a quarterback with the Saints.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, he did that for numerous years. So then he was in a scouting department up there. So I think someone in the industry I would prefer, if I'm going to do the stopgap, even if I'm going to do that, I'm like, you know, a lot of people that potentially could be a head coach, like Gerard Mayo or someone else, if you have to have a UT guy. Or you just stick with Kevin Steele and say, let's see what he can do. I know he hadn't had a lot of success as a head coach, but that was years ago. He's grown as a coach, you know, so let's see, you know, don't rush into a decision is all I'm saying. Whether you make it in March or you make it in July or you make it next, going into the next season. You know, let's just make sure you get it right this time.
Yeah, you mentioned Jason Witten. Dan Patrick is the guy who brought that up.
Yeah,
he's been talking a little bit about UT and college football, and he said a couple times Tennessee got sloppy in recruiting. He said the same thing about Georgia, but then he always says, but nothing's, you know, there doesn't appear to be anything being looked into at Georgia. But he keeps
They're winning.
Yeah, they're not investigating themselves and leaking the investigation. You know,
well, they turned themselves in and, oh, that was a level one. We're good.
Yeah. He also said that Tennessee was literally giving away money in McDonald's bags.
Yeah, that I was thinking, can I get Patrick. I want to get the 4-for-4 pack. You know, can I get the hookup or whatever? Hey, man, what a day. I wish I could have accidentally ran into one of those McDonald's bags. That would have been nice.
Yeah, we can play that audio for you later, but it's just a quick blurb during his show, and he just gets into his UT stuff, starts bringing up McDonald's bags.
They got in trouble for that? I mean, isn't that customary for the SEC? I mean, I don't know. I'm not buying that. I mean, yeah, I know they did it, but that's what they got in trouble. That's not a, it has to be more than that for them to get into this kind of where they're talking about no bowl and it has to be accumulation of numerous things if it's going to be on that kind of level, you know. So, yeah, it got to be hotels, flying people in, putting them up in places, just doing a whole bunch of that all across the board for 3 years straight. Now, that can add up to a lot of moolah.
Yeah.
You know, then they switch up and don't get McDonald's bag. They use Wendy's bags or Burger King, you know, give everybody some props. We shall see where this goes, but I'm hoping that nothing severe. And they really start their search. And once you get an AD, everybody's going to be clamoring for a head coach immediately. So just don't, you know, wilt to the pressure of let's hire a guy now because of all the fan base and, you know, board members. Oh, let's go, let's go, let's go. And just make sure you take your time and get it right.
And one thing to think of, the person who's going to have say in this that nobody knows who it is yet, it's that AD. The AD is going to have say in who the head coach is. I mean, we can speculate all we want. Maybe they hire an AD. And that AD has a prior relationship prior working, you know, relationship with somebody. And we go, oh, if you connect the dots, this makes perfect sense. This AD with this coach. But Chancellor Donde Plowman said yesterday of the infractions found of Pruitt and his staff. This was after they'd said they're going to fire 10 people, including Pruitt. What is so disturbing as demonstrated by the scope of these actions is the number of violations and people involved in their efforts to conceal their activities from our compliance staff and from the athletic department's leaders. Then she said, and we were all kind of waiting for this, our termination was for cause. There will be no buyout when asked about the severity of the allegations. And now Pruitt's got representation to try to get him, you know, some of this money back. Chris Lowe told 3HL yesterday he expects the Vols to be hit with, and this was his quote, some pretty big sanctions, at least a one-year postseason ban.
And what does pretty good big sanctions mean? If you were just making a calculated guess, because I really don't know what that means. Like, so I'm the general fan. Like, it was sanctions, some pretty good sanctions. I mean, like, are we talking about bowl games for more than a year? Or we're talking about reduced scholarships?
I think both. I think that would have to be both.
So where's the limitation? Where else do you go when you're talking about penalties? I mean,
show causes for the coaches that were involved.
You could
slap a show cause on them. Here's the other thing, and we
that
all
really
laugh
hurts
about
through
this.
It. Yeah, that does. Yeah,
and it could hurt him absolutely. Now, here's the other thing we all laugh about this: vacate wins. We all saw the game. Now they wouldn't be vacating much from
all three
year.
Wins. Oh my
yeah.
gosh!
You have to vacate those three.
Well, they may go back 3 years though. They may go back 3 years.
Yeah, they may. So
Indiana will be so elated that they get that bowl game that they play, they win that game now.
So all of that stuff is in play. You know, loss of postseason appearances, show cause penalties for coaches, loss of scholarships. You know, when you talk about really serious, that's what we're talking about today. You know,
how many
the death
years
penalty.
Do you think? One, two, three.
Well, if it's just one, let's just say somehow you say, look, we threw ourselves at your mercy. We fired 10 people. We outed ourselves on this deal. We called you NCAA. If it's just 1 year, probably not going to win much next year anyway. At that point, do you just ride with Kevin Steele? Let's say you called Gus Malzahn and Matt Campbell, and let's say you call
do your search firm that way you reach out to them and they say no, then you didn't say, oh no, we didn't talk to them, right? That's what you said.
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
So you know that you asked, and you got your no, but they don't have to go before anybody at their school and say, no, I never talked to Donde Plowman or Phil Former or anybody. No, they talked to, you know, Glenn Sugiyama or somebody with a search firm. But here's the thing. If you get no's from everybody who you think is the most viable candidate, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see them sit on Kevin Steele for a year. It wouldn't surprise me at all, especially if you're gonna eat that year anyway because of sanctions. Just eat it with Kevin Steele and spend that whole year trying to put together, you know, the best candidate if you can't find who you want, so you don't rush into somebody and wind up making another mistake.
Let's say they get this guy. Just use this as an example. The UAB guy. What's his name? Mark Ingram or something like that? Not Mark Ingram. That's a player. What was his name? His last name is Ingram.
No, it's Mark Ingram.
Ingram. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Mark Ingram. And then you then reach out, have the search firm reach out to Clark, the UAB, and he goes, hey, man, there's a lot of smoke and fire there, man. I don't know, man. I know I brought a program back, but this one here is tough. And then he'd say, all right, well, thank you. Then you call him 2 weeks later. Hey, man, how you feeling? Well, I don't know, man. Have y'all increased that price about $2 million? I don't know. I'm still kind of, I got the way, you know, and then all of a sudden you get, you know, a guy that he's comfortable with. And he knows he's built a program from scratch almost, really, after it, you know, you know, canceled his program. Well, how long did they cancel it? For like 2 years? Or how long was that?
I think it was like gone completely for a year, and then they started to build it back the next year, and then I think they played the next year or something like that. Just crazy.
Yeah.
So, and he's raised millions of dollars, and, you know, they've won the conference, you know, their division. I mean, they played in the postseason, and I know for big schools that's not a big deal, but for other schools it's a big deal to make a bowl game, you know, for UAB, Ball State, Arkansas State. It's a big deal to make a bowl game. So, it's remarkable what they've done.
Or you can go and be off the cuff, as you mentioned yesterday, Charles Davis, or maybe, you know, a lawyer type like Lampley, Brad Lampley. I mean, you can go down a different paths here and still accomplish a lot of the things that you're looking for that has some ties to Tennessee, but they haven't been, you know, around, you know, the program. So you can get a fresh start, still feel the same way. You got somebody who's connected if you want to go down that road.
Well, we can go down all those roads next because we got Mike Wilson set to join us with the latest from Knoxville. He's with the Knoxville News Sentinel. That's next on Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. What's going on in Knoxville? Mike Wilson joins us from his palatial estate with the latest. He has a very attractive lamp behind him. He's wearing his glasses. He informed us he hasn't had time. Yes, he looks sharp. Hasn't had time to shower since yesterday. He said it's been kind of busy. Where do we even start, Mike, after what happened yesterday?
Well, Tennessee basketball plays Florida tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN. And, you know, the Vols are playing good basketball. Scotty Lewis isn't going to play for Florida, it sounds like. A key piece of information there is Tennessee won the SEC in 2017-18. You know what else happened in 2017?
When they fired their football coach.
They fired a football coach. And, well, I guess that happened yesterday, too.
So we're expecting SEC championship by the basketball program.
Breaking news, right? Tennessee basketball wins championship this year, as predicted by Mike Wilson. Look, let's start here again. After watching that presser, you probably have listened to the audio at least once, if not twice, three times now. My gosh, there's so many places to go after hearing all of those things.
Yeah, Tennessee does hiring and firing press conferences in a really strange way. I've kind of thought about that a lot in the last 24 hours, how the strangest press conference I've seen, it was Phil Fulmer's hiring press conference. And then yesterday's is probably a close second. But it was a lot. I mean, Tennessee's Chancellor Donde Plowman and President Randy Boyd went above and beyond to emphasize how Phil Fulmer is phasing himself out as a retirement and stepping aside and this and that. Calling him a legend and really painting that, and then absolutely hammering the Tennessee football program and Jeremy Pruitt, who was fired for cause, two other assistants fired for cause, seven staff members fired. I mean, they went in on Jeremy Pruitt. They went in on Jeremy Pruitt in the termination letter he was handed yesterday, 5 pages, and it was scathing, the things that were written. I mean, they held back nothing in terms of the way they delivered everything yesterday.
I'm with Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel, covering the Tennessee Vols.
How much, before we get into some of the details, do you think this stains, I guess, or even bad, Phillip Fulmer's legacy with Tennessee? What is your bird's eye view of how his legacy will be viewed now and then maybe 10 years from now?
No, I think his legacy as a coach, I feel like, isn't affected by any of this.
Okay.
And he's still obviously widely beloved by a large faction of Tennessee fans. But there's also a reality that Phillip Fulmer made it clear from day one as an athletic director, his goal and mission was to get football fixed.
Yeah.
And to that effect, if that was your mission and goal, he failed. He failed as an athletic director in that respect. Jeremy Pruitt was his coach, his hire, not a guy that was being courted by the previous AD, John Curry, before Phillip Fulmer took over. That was Phillip Fulmer's hire. He gave Jeremy Pruitt an extension and a raise before the season, which also was approved by the chancellor, mind you. I mean, it wasn't just a unilateral move there. But that's the reality. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt is Phillip Fulmer's guy, and Phillip Fulmer's legacy as an AD is tied to that. Now, did Phillip Fulmer only do that? No. I mean, he's credited with helping keep Rick Barnes in Knoxville instead of going to UCLA. I think what he's done to keep Tony Vitello with the baseball program has been key. But the reality is, no matter what he's done with other sports and whatever he's done as the face of the athletic department, he didn't get football fixed, and that was what he said he had to do.
No question. We're on with Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel. I guess one more for me is, give us a scope of some of the penalties that you think that occurred during this time, because I'm interested to see what the penalties may be. I mean, you know, they're talking about, you know, no bowl and, you know, reduced scholarships. I just don't know how far does it go. How does this process work? And then with the scope of what they've done or things that you've heard that they have done, I guess kind of give us a bird's eye view of that as well.
Yeah, I don't know that I can speak well to what the punishments might be. The indication yesterday is level one, level two recruiting violations, which is bound to get some form of issue from the NCAA.
Uh-oh, you've been working around them, right, Mike?
Mind is,
yeah, I see a McDonald's bag right there.
What's that?
I see a McDonald's bag right there on your couch.
No, I'm more of a Wendy's guy.
Oh, okay.
My roommate and I had that debate the other night. Wendy's nuggets are way better than McDonald's nuggets, so I wouldn't accept a McDonald's bag. The reality of what Tennessee's press conference was yesterday was also hammering it as hard as home that they're firing for cause. So it was in their best interest also to paint a picture of it being really bad. Was it as bad as it was painted? We're going to find out in the coming weeks and months. But Tennessee certainly, its administration went out of the way to make sure it was hit home that a lot is going on. Will it result in a bowl ban, scholarship reductions, those sorts of things? Time will tell, but I don't think I know enough about that exact stuff to really offer a good indication of what might come.
I guess real quick, I guess, what time frame do you think, being covering the program for a long time, I guess, what's the time frame on the AD? Because the AD is actually going to do the hiring of the football coach. And are they, you know, comfortable with, if they don't rush into the AD, that maybe Steele or Witten or whoever may be a stopgap guy?
Yeah, I do think getting an AD is going to happen fast. And I think it's in Tennessee's definite best interest to make it happen fast, since Donnie Plowman was very clear. She wants to hire an AD, and that AD is going to hire the football coach. That was the big comment about why Phillip Fulmer is stepping aside and retiring, is to let the next AD hire the next football coach. So they want to get that guy in here. And I think you want to do it fast, because you don't want to be in a football coaching search in mid-February. And if you wait 3 weeks on AD, that's exactly what you're setting yourself up for. So I'd imagine Tennessee gets moving on that fast. They've hired a search firm out of Atlanta, I believe, Parker Executive Search. So they're going to get this rolling as quickly as possible, I think. And I'd imagine they've already reached out to some candidates.
Do you have some that you suggest that they may be interested in, or no?
I do, but I think it depends too on what Tennessee has in mind. A big question for me yesterday that my coworker asked Donnie Plowman, since we can only have one person at the press conference, was what is she looking for in an AD? And typically one of those things you hear is people with ties to the school. Donnie Plowman didn't say that. She talked about someone with experience as an AD and experience in hiring people, and talked about, you know, doing things the right way. Tennessee has some candidates it could call, like John Gilbert, who's been here, was here for 6 years under Dave Hart. Mark Ingram at UAB is another guy with ties. Gerald Harrison from Austin Peay. I mean, there's some guys they can call, but it also depends on what they want. Do you want a guy who knows the landscape here, or are you trying to really clean house and start fresh with someone who's totally different from what Tennessee's had, keeping in mind that John Curry was that type of hire too, the different outsider kind of hire, and that wasn't well received by the fan base.
Wrong with Mike Wilson with the Knoxville News Sentinel. Yeah.
So amongst the many, 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 many things that were said by Donnie Plowman about her own program and just all the horrific things that she said she had seen, the word integrity got said. Integrity, looking for a coach with integrity, looking for integrity. So immediately a bunch of people, Mike, said, well, look, you can't hire Hugh Freeze because he came from trouble. So wouldn't that is she just basically using integrity to say no Hugh Freeze? And if that's the case, Mike, I would also ask, Jamie Chadwell's name is one that's getting thrown around. He vacated a bunch of wins at Charleston Southern, some really good seasons there, and left there with sanctions. Is he ruled out then too by integrity clauses?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I think hammering home the integrity thing yesterday was big in again, putting emphasis on the four cause firing. But you also can't, as you're saying, go out in a press conference, say it's all about integrity, and then turn around and hire Hugh Freeze. I think that completely contradicts everything you just said. I think Randy Boyd kind of had the comment of the day yesterday to me. I think he said, if you can't win the right way, then you don't belong here. So they made it clear where they want to be, and those are strong statements you have to back up. Certainly Hugh Freeze's situations at Ole Miss are a little bit more egregious from an NCAA standpoint than what I understand about Jamie Chadwell's. I think it was some scholarship funds used at the bookstore or something to that, if I remember correctly. So certainly a different level there. But, yeah, I think it does to some extent put that into question. But the NCAA thing, period, at Tennessee is going to have a big effect, I think, when it comes to what you're going to be able to do with a coach and what sort of caliber of coach you're going to get now.
Do you? If you and me had to go to Vegas with a bunch of Blaine's money and make a bet,
yes, and you
had to make a bet that Kevin Steele winds up being the coach for this year, you don't have to bet on anything beyond this year, but that Kevin Steele is going to run the program. I mean, heck, if you're going to have a bunch of sanctions, well, he could eat the sanction sandwich that's about to get dropped in his lap. I mean, you got to go to Vegas and bet Kevin Steele is the sitting head coach, and then you hire somebody new in December of this year. What do you think?
How much of Blaine's money do I get to play with here?
You pick the amount.
Oh, yeah, just a million. Okay, I don't have to know.
Just a cool mill. Sounds good. I can work with that. Yeah, that's a great question, Mickey. I think that's probably a possibility, but I don't think it's among Tennessee's top three or four things it would want to see happen. I think they do want to put a coach in place because, I mean, let's call it what it is. If Tennessee wanted to go that route, they probably wouldn't have Philip Fulmer retiring right now, because why wouldn't he just stay on for AD if you're going to have an interim coach next year? If you're moving on to the AD to have the next AD in to hire the next football coach, you're not planning on having an interim coach next year. That said, whatever transpires with the NCAA stuff could have a factor on that as well. Because if you feel like you're not getting the candidate you want because you're going to have NCAA issues this year, maybe you do wait a year, but all the indications from Tennessee and the actions that they've taken so far to me say they're going to hire a coach because they're hiring an AD to hire a coach.
Well, and somebody tweeted this, and every so often it gets put out there and I never remember it until I see somebody tweet it. Johnny Majors was the last sitting Power 5 head coach that Tennessee hired, and that was, what, 77? So that's 44 years ago? I mean, history says it's tough for some reason. You know, it, despite all the accolades, despite all the great history, history says it's tough for them to hire a sitting Power 5 head coach.
And I don't think that's what they're going to get out of this search either. I think there's possibility you get some successful candidates who have been Power 5 head coaches. I mean, to me, from the start, even if Pruitt wasn't fired with the NCAA stuff, a Gus Malzahn or Tom Herman's a really good thing for Tennessee to land. I mean, that brings some stability. Guys who've won, you could do a lot worse than those guys if you're Tennessee, especially now, given what's going on. But it does seem more like this is going to trickle down to a Billy Napier, a Jamie Chadwell, that kind of caliber of coach who's big offense, guys who've won at the group of five level. So those have got to be candidates in there. But yeah, to me, the candidate pool will be decided by what actually is going on with the NCAA and any potential issues that they have coming forward.
I'm with Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel talking Tennessee Vols.
Well, speaking of that, Mike, do you think then with that approach that you're talking about, will they keep some of their staff members or are they staying? And when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, Kevin Steele, who's a DC, or will that be just left up to the coach, depending on if he's an offensive, defensive guy?
Yeah, I don't know one way or the other on that, but I would assume that there's always a possibility of coaches staying on. And I don't think Tennessee hired Kevin Steele with any intention of him not being here. Right. Given the timeline of his hiring, Tennessee hiring a search firm on the 16th, firing Jeremy Pruitt on the 18th, I don't think you make that hire unless you're pointing on the next coach keeping him. And also, let's call the Kevin Steele hire what it is. You got a proven DC at a discount rate with Auburn paying most of his salary. There's no reason not to keep a guy who's a $2.5 million a year coordinator that you're paying $450K. It would make no sense not to keep that guy.
No doubt about it. Have you, talked to some of the players or filled out some of the players on if some are considering getting in the portal and leaving? And what happened with the big cat kid from Auburn? He's staying. I haven't seen anything. I don't know if it's too early to say or not, but it definitely probably hurts recruiting for sure, right?
It has to. And Tennessee's had a lot of guys go in the portal as it is. They've had 10 scholarship guys enter the portal since December 1st. That does include a guy who quickly withdrew, another guy who's indicated he's coming back, but they have had 10 guys jump in the portal, and you won't see that today, I don't think. It usually takes 24 to 48 hours for a name to appear after they put in their papers. But later this week, early next week, we might have a better idea of that. And Big Cat Bryant's a great question. His commitment to Tennessee had a lot to do with Shelton Felton, whom he played for in high school. Shelton Felton was one of the assistants that was fired yesterday for cause. I haven't seen anything from him indicating yay or nay one way or the other, but Tennessee also hadn't formally announced his addition, so it doesn't look like he has signed anything. So he would have an easy out if he wanted to.
I guess give us some positive out of all of this situation. I know you're to cover the team, but if you're talking to the fan base and say, hey, these are some of the positives about this outcome, what would you say?
Really hard question. It's basketball season. The baseball schedule lost in the shuffle yesterday. The baseball team's ranked 19th entering the season. Those are positive things. I think, you know, Tennessee cleaned house of its two most prominent positions yesterday. And that's a really big reset button in an athletic department. And I don't know that it had grown stagnant or what you want to say about it, but it seemed clear that at some point Jeremy Pruitt wasn't going to work out as the coach at Tennessee, whether that was now or next year based on on-field results. But there was always that risk of if Tennessee keeps him and they go somehow 8-4 next year, win a bowl game, go 9-4, you can't fire him anymore. Not reasonably anyway. So it kind of had to happen. And I think Tennessee's pressing the reset button right now. And I mean, they might have saved buyout money. Also could be a win. I assume they're going to end up paying some of that in some form of settlement lawsuit, since for cause firings are very tricky to hammer down for absolutely no money. There are some silver linings in some way, but we'll know more about that once the AD hire is made, because you really want to see that top to bottom leadership. And I thought Dondi Plowman and Randy Boyd came off pretty well yesterday, despite the way they hammered the program. I thought they came off as strong, and it seemed clear that they were running the show, and it was their ship that's being steered forward here. So whomever they hire as AD, I think it's going to be the big indication of where this place is headed now.
Well, with Mike Wilson, who covers Tennessee for the Knoxville News Sentinel.
This shows how different Blaine and me are, because he said, what good can come out of this? And here was the last question that I had written down for you. Is this rock bottom? People always ask, is this rock bottom? I will ask you, is this rock bottom?
So here's what I've learned in my three, four, however many years I've been covering Tennessee is it's given me gray hair.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big blur at this point. Tennessee finds new and creative ways to make it crazy. It's kind of the Tennessee way. Again, in my limited scope of this, but I mean, in that window, and this is something I always like to joke about. My first day on this job was the day that Butch Jones said Shy Tuttle fell on a helmet. And if that wasn't a baseline of this is what this job is going to be like, I don't know what is. Okay. So I don't know if this is rock bottom, because rock bottom could still be to come if the sanctions are as serious as they were painted to be yesterday, or if the violations were as serious as they were painted to be yesterday. So there could still be more coming. But rock bottom could also be if Tennessee can't go and attract the type of coach that it wants. And then you're right back here again in 3 to 4 years without the results. So Tennessee finds interesting ways to keep it crazy. That's for sure.
And fans pay money. They buy tickets. They fill the stadiums. It's just amazing. It's never been a lack of resources or support that led them here. You know, some places can say, hey, we just didn't have the money. You could never say that there. They always have the money and they always have the support.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Vols fans and Vol Twitter get a difficult rap, I think, nationally, just given the craziness of the Greg Schiano situation, all those things. But literally the one thing you cannot question about Tennessee fans is how much they love the Tennessee football team, the Tennessee athletics program, Lady Vols, I mean, everything. Like, this is just an insanely passionate fan base in every way, so you can't really question that. I mean, they're going to care about this team no matter what happens next. They'll show up at Neyland Stadium no matter what's going on. That's the reality of this place, is these people care, for better or for worse.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Before you let you go, Mike Wilson does a great job covering the Tennessee program for Knoxville News Sentinel. Give us your way too early pick of who. Ooh. I'm going to just go, which is easier, coach or AD? Let's go coach. We want to know the coach, even though you haven't hired AD yet. Which is easier for you? You pick one and go with it. Let's see what happens.
Sorry, Blaine, you're breaking up. I got to go. Bye. I think when you look at the two jobs, the AD one's easier to pick, because the AD inherits an overall attractive athletic department, I think, regardless of what happens with football, because a lot of those other programs are humming along. Basketball, baseball, swimming and diving won the SEC, not this year, but the year before. A lot of those programs are doing well. So you inherit an overall attractive athletic department, especially if you can turn football around, which obviously is the job. And that's what Phil Fulmer wanted to do. So to me, I'm going to talk about the AD. I'm not going to talk about the coach. I think those three names are where I start. John Gilbert, Mark Ingram, Gerald Harrison. Those are three really good candidates. If Tennessee wants to take its scope wider, Kirby Hokut, I believe, is Virginia Tech. That's a name you could see. Or Whit Babcock is Virginia Tech. Kirby Hokut, I saw, I believe, Dennis Dodd of CBS yesterday floated those two guys if Tennessee goes national on it. But that, to me, is going to tell the overall picture of where Tennessee is headed. Is do they go to a Tennessee guy because that's where the powers that be want it? Or do they try to hire an outsider, a big name, or where do they go with that? But those are the names that I want to see, because that's going to dictate a lot about the football coach search.
Great stuff. Yeah. Mike Wilson by Mike Wilson on Twitter for all the latest via the Knoxville News Sentinel and his Twitter account there. Thank you, man. Appreciate the time.
Great job,
buddy. Glad to join, guys.
Yes, sir. What did Dan Patrick say about McDonald's bags and Jason Witten and UT? We'll play that for you next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Blaine pointed something out in the break that we hadn't mentioned. It's the birthday of a great Tennessean who David Reed is a huge fan of, Dolly Parton. It is her birthday today. 75 years old, young. 75 years young. Saving people's lives and paying for vaccines and, you know, writing hit songs. What an amazing run of awesomeness she's been on now.
So, David, you're a huge fan. Give us your spiel on Dolly Parton. I didn't know this.
That's Mickey being a little
bit. I don't know a lot of things, but.
That's Mickey being mischievous. He wants to unleash Twitter on me again because I'm not a huge fan of Dolly Parton the way the majority of the people are.
Oh,
She's a fine humanitarian. She's a mediocre singer. She runs a fine theme park. I'm not ready to canonize her like 99% of Tennesseans are.
But you also admit she's done great things for humanity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mark's a lot of fun. You're just not a big fan of the music. Yes. That's okay.
No, it's okay. I mean, you can be a great person and just okay at your real job, which to me, she's okay. Well, before
we let you go on this, David, David Reed, what is her best song in your eyes? Since you say you don't like the singing, what is her best song to you?
Coat of Many Colors. I mean, it's great. She's a phenomenal songwriter. One of the other things that gets on my nerves though is "I Will Always Love You" is not a love song. That's a breakup song. I'm moving on with my life song. Also, "Hard Candy Christmas" not a Christmas song. So now Mickey's got me fired up. Look, as if this whole coaching debacle was not enough, Mickey had to bring all of this up.
Well, you got to make sure, since I don't know those songs, like take us out or bring us back to one of those songs. I have no idea what those songs are. So I just want to hear, and then we can, you know.
I'll make a Spotify list and send it over to you.
Oh, okay. All
right. See, I have to say I'm blown away as somebody who's written songs or attempted to, but nowhere near her level, blown away. And I also love her voice. I mean, listen to her sing Jolene, man. That's just chilling. Another fantastic song that she wrote. Let's get to Dan Patrick because we need to play this. He's never done a duet with Dolly Parton, I don't think. But he's been sticking his toe kind of into breaking this college football news or just dropping these bombs and then just going on about his business on his show. But he weighed in on Tennessee on his show and with us yesterday, I think. And this is how it went.
Tennessee Volunteers with... All right, here's some information I have on Tennessee Volunteers with Jeremy Pruitt got fired and Phil Fulmer, the athletic director. I said they were going to go after him as well from my source. He decided to retire. And whoever goes in has got some hurdles probably with the NCAA that they're going to have to navigate. The people who are going to make this pick, this choice for the next head coach, the Haslam brothers, Peyton Manning, is going to be involved in it, reportedly going to be involved in it. And I was told that, you know, there's a few things that are going on here. And I asked my source, I said, how did they get these assistant coaches on recruiting violations? And he said, well, they put money into McDonald's bags and gave them to the recruits when they came on campus. Some of the campus visits were not organized or they were not above board. But they were handing out cash. I don't know if it was through the drive-through.
That's a Happy Meal.
So you literally had bagmen, and they put the cash in McDonald's bags and handed it to the recruits. My source said they were so in your face with this. They weren't even trying to hide it. And that's where my source said Tennessee got sloppy, Georgia has gotten sloppy, but there's been no word on the NCAA looking at Georgia. But Tennessee... they got sloppy, and they were handing out cash in McDonald's bags. I haven't been to McDonald's in a long, long time. But
I used to get those little figurines. Definitely not cash.
Here's another possibility. They're looking at names here. Who's going to take over the program? Who's going to go in there? And I was told Hugh Freeze is not getting the job. I was told... Hugh Freeze might, this might be more of the SEC saying, I got to get it correct here. The SEC might be blocking the possibility of Hugh Freeze coaching Tennessee. So you would be discouraging Tennessee from hiring Hugh Freeze. He's already been in this before with Ole Miss, but he was at Liberty and he's done a good job at Liberty, but I was told that Hugh Freeze was probably not going to be on the short list there. Here was a name that was brought to my attention by somebody else. How about Jason Witten? Just a what if Jason Witten as the next head coach. Throw that out there. Whether it sticks or not, no idea. But that's the information that I have with the Tennessee Volunteers.
So it's Dan Patrick weighing in. Jason Witten was such a name out of left field. I know he's beloved by Vols, and we saw him step up into the Monday Night Football booth, and then we saw him step back out on the playing field. I found that very interesting. Maybe Dan's got somebody who's trying to tie him to Peyton Manning, who's supposed to be going to, you know, will be a big part of the coaching search. But I would be curious what Vol fans even thought when they heard something like that, Blaine. 615-737-1045.
Yeah, that was kind of a curveball there with Jason Witten out of nowhere or off the top rope. I mean, yeah, I'm sure he has great leadership skills. And if you're bringing him in for a stopgap to give him a, you know, test case study there to see if he could do it as a head coach, and you leave, you know, Chaney and still in place, yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But talking to Mike Wilson and people in the media, seems like they're going to hire the AD and they're going to let him hire his coach fairly, you know, quickly, you know, as time goes on here in the next month or two. So I don't know if that one's going to play out very well, but I wouldn't put anything past him to have success. But if it was me, I maybe in a different role, but not the head coach. And now Peyton Manning, I put it the head coach, but you know, he got too many other things he's doing.
Oh, yeah, he's too busy. Guy's way too busy making videos for ESPN and everywhere else. He's having too good of a time. All right, we need to have a good time in the next hour. Sportsline has released odds on several different names. I got it. I got Sportsline's list of potential head coaches and odds. I got odds for them, too. We'll share those with you. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone.